Sim.
Hello, Anna.
You are a father.
It's so wild. It's crazy. It's amazing. Everything about it, I don't know.
No, that's not
I'm
what
blown
you
away.
Just said.
What do you mean? What did I just say?
Before...
Stop lying to everyone. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, dear listeners, Sim is not being truthful right now. He did say that he loves his child and can't stop staring at it, but you also said...
I mean, right now it's an adjustment. It's really... I will say this right now. Amy is the strongest woman I have ever met in my entire life. I'm in awe of what she is doing. You said this a few times, that women have it much harder than men when it comes to all
everything.
This stuff. In this case, I can't... She has it so much harder than me.
Well, that, you know, and I think that's really generous of you to say, and it's, and I know it's true. The adjustment period, I mean, it takes a long time before your brain sort of becomes numb again, or maybe it's, is your brain numb right now?
I'm still like transfixed, and I'm like completely in this different zone where everything is different in my life now.
Well, I want Amy on to talk about like the experience of having, bringing, you know, a newborn home and how difficult it is to, you know, between breastfeeding and your body recovering and sort of, you know, your whole new identity.
I didn't realize breastfeeding was so difficult. I just thought that, you know,
I agree. I didn't know either.
The whole latching, there are lactation consultants.
It fucking sucks.
There's all
get
these
it?
Different
get
tubes
it?
And pumps.
Sucks.
And, oh my God, it does suck.
Well, or if they don't suck, then that sucks.
But at the same time,
I'm so clever this morning, aren't I? But congratulations.
I'm very happy. I'm so happy. And I just want to thank all of our listeners, because when I posted on social media, on Instagram, just the comments and the love that we received. And
hey, listeners,
and
thanks
thank
for
you.
Being so supportive. We
Seriously,
love you guys.
We do love you.
And he's beautiful, by the way.
He looks a little like me. I'm
he's
yeah.
And you're beautiful.
I hope he ends up looking like Amy. But right now he looks
you're
like me.
Both beautiful.
We have the same eyes. You're so sweet. Don't say that.
No.
Thank you.
Ooh, somebody's here.
Oh.
Somebody's here.
Okay. Last week's episode with Yvette Nicole Brown. I know
yes.
We recorded that a while ago, and let me refresh your memory on the situation with Michelle. I mean, to make a long story short, Michelle has this guy friend, and he's really into her, and he wanted to come visit her, and it was a tough one, because you've also said that so many women are in the same exact situation. But let me just read what Danielle, she wrote into us, and she said, "Hi, Anna and Sim. Just wanted to give a little feedback on Michelle's situation with a guy who was in love with her. I think most of the advice you gave was amazing and spot on, but it's so important that if the grand gesture arises and he professes his love to her, that she is very clear about her lack of feelings. No need to be harsh or cruel, but to say, 'We can't be together right now,' or 'I don't feel the same way at this moment,' is unfair to this guy. Cut him loose, and if the friendship is strong enough and he can handle it, he will come back and maintain healthy boundaries. I was dragged along for years by a guy I was in love with and who I thought could change. I, of course, know now that you can't change people. Looking back, I wish I'd walked away much sooner, since it caused me a number of years of emotional damage. But we all learn from our mistakes, and I'm happy to say I've cut him from my life. I do get the stray message from him here and there, but have learned to ignore it. Wishing Michelle the best. P.S. Congrats, Sim and Amy, on your adorable little new boy." Oh, thank you so much, Danielle.
Danielle, that's thank you for writing in. I think that's really great advice, because it is hard to be put in a position where you feel cruel, like you're being cruel, when really you're protecting yourself.
Honestly, if I knew that someone wasn't interested in me, I'd rather not know and just assume. You know, if I tried a couple of times, I kind of got the hint. You know, you can tell if someone really likes you or not. Most guys, it takes a while for them to pick it up. I picked it up pretty quickly.
But there's like pressure to be overly kind sometimes.
Definitely.
And that can be misinterpreted.
It is tough.
I don't know. I feel like if I had a daughter, I would want her to be like, "Don't like you." But that's painful too. I don't know. Oh, the whole thing. Oh God.
All right. Well, let's get to some ads.
Surfing.
Huh? You want to go surfing?
I don't like water. Haven't showered in 8 weeks.
When was the last time you showered?
8 weeks ago, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You smell great.
Skylar brought gifts. I did bring gifts. Will you tell us about it?
Honestly, no one ever brings us any gifts.
Really?
Ever. You might be the first 3 years.
Sim.
Well, Don't get me started on you.
What a fucking rip. Like, I'm one to talk. I know,
yeah, I
exactly.
Say.
I know. I officiated his wedding, and I have not gotten them a wedding gift yet. And that was last year.
Did you name, is Evan in any way? Congratulations,
thank
by the
so
way.
Thank you so much.
Is he in any way named after Anna, since she officiated the wedding?
Thank you.
That would be a great gift.
Thank you.
I know it's a little late, because he's here. But
honestly, the thought never occurred to me.
Maybe the next one, if you have a daughter.
I love that
maybe.
You knew that, Skylar. You did your research.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I didn't just do my research. I have been an avid listener of Unqualified since it started. It
really?
Has been like, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, man,
thank
this
you.
Podcast has been like the pillar of my early 20s. I have like laughed and cried and learned
oh my
with
God.
You guys since the beginning. And I have had some pretty like... good, solid, like, oh, God, I should probably not go out with that guy. Like, listening to Anna and Sim's advice, he is a douchebag. I'm not going to do this. Like, you guys, like, the voice of reason in my life.
This is heartwarming.
Oh, God,
right now.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, so what do you think about coming onto a podcast? Like, it just, I know that's a vague question, and I don't mean it quite like that, but because it's a long format and it's kind of intimate, I mean, do you feel, I get terrified to go onto like talk shows or shit like that because it feels so structured and...
Yeah, it's weird. I did one yesterday and I was like a ball of nerves.
What did you do?
I went on The Talk.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't have been nicer.
They're great.
What's that woman's name? Cheryl Underwood?
Yeah.
Who like gives the best hugs. Like
yes.
The nicest woman ever. They couldn't have been nicer. And like the whole thing was over before it started. But I was so nervous. There was like just
well,
this
you know what's-
bug-eyed audience that's just looking at you. And I'm like, what if they go off the cards? What if they ask me something I'm not prepared for? Like, oh, God.
I always feel like the anxiety of the producers...
Yeah.
Like sort of they freak me like
well, and there's like big energy like buzzing around and people are like, you need a mic and you need a thing and
yeah.
you have this and your shirt's weird, but it's
yeah.
fine. We have no time to change it. You have
right,
to go
right,
on and you're like,
right.
wait, what? And then they're like, and go. And you're like, this is totally normal. I'm not sweating everywhere right
and
now.
And you stand like behind the curtain
oh,
and then
so
and you wait
weird.
For like the clip to play or the ad like and then it's like, and here you go. And it's like, oh God. And there's like mints in a mirror right before you go out there and it's like, oh, what is this saying?
Yeah, it's super Wait. Strange. I know it's like, it's part of like the beast of our business. And my mom is actually, has been an unscripted producer my whole life. And so I've grown up watching her do it. And even still, I'm like, it's weird. The whole thing is kind of weird. Like it makes me so nervous. And I see so many people who just seem like so cool and confident. I'm like, but this is like not a normal.
No,
like,
it's like
thing.
A heightened sort of version of yourself and then telling stories that are, at least for me, like that are like sort of funny or amusing. But it's also like as I'm telling some lame thing, it's like.
Yeah, aren't you worried it's like not funny enough
oh,
or someone's not going to like it enough?
Is
or you're
this
like,
of interest?
Why am and I here I'm, talking? Yeah, does anybody want to even hear it?
It's a whole, it's, yeah. It's,
I do feel that. I do feel that. So to answer your question, I'm actually so excited to be on a podcast. This is my first podcast.
Oh, yes.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. I have literally been begging and begging my publicist. I was like, listen, you don't understand, you know, because I signed and started working with her last year when I started on The Gifted. And I said, look, like, there's only one thing that really matters to me. And she was like, okay, I think I know what you're going to say. And I was like, no, I don't think you do. Like, I am a diehard fan of the Unqualified podcast. And if no other press came of this show, I would just love to sit on the couch with Anna and
oh,
Sim. Nothing
wow,
would make me happier. She was
away.
Like, that's your only Kyla. Request. I was like, it's my only request. It's my absolute favorite thing to listen to. And I love that it's so relaxed. Like, I feel like the conversations that you guys have with people are intimate, but they're so authentic. I was like, if you're going to talk to people about your life, do it like that. Like this to me is like the best way to do it. So I'm so happy to be here.
I'm trying. We're so happy to have you. I'm trying to take off my boots right now just so I can fold up my legs. You can see my tube socks.
Oh, I've got some crazy socks on. I don't own a single pair of matching socks.
Oh, I have these like
proof. It's terrible.
I think
like
I've had the same socks since middle
socks.
School.
Oh,
those are good. Like
wow.
What's actually happening? Hearts and then what's on this one?
I gotta tell you, your boots are so
think my little
cool.
Go-go boots.
Can I see them?
Yeah. So they're from some bootleg God. Website. They were like $20.
So really?
I'm bargain queen of the world.
Really?
I don't think I've paid full price for anything.
That is
ever.
Not my strong suit.
In my whole life. I'm a thrifty gal when it comes to that, so I
I probably could. Probably could have, I don't know, maybe had a small boat if I was a bargain shopper. Sim, you're not good at.
No, I'm like you. I can't find deals. My mom can. I can't find any deals anywhere. We offer deals on our podcast, though.
Oh, I know. As a matter of fact, I just ordered my Everly Wellness Kit.
You did?
Nice. Yes, using your Anna code. So thank you for that. That
you're
really
like the perfect.
Seriously, can you please
person.
Come back every week?
Honestly, I would love nothing more than that. Honestly, I told you, I do. I listen all the time, and I was so interested because I have a friend back in Atlanta, and the two of us have been talking about Everly because she had a friend who didn't really like it, and we've been going back and forth about whether or not to do it. And then after the podcast, I think, was it a couple days ago?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah.
When you talked about Everly, I was like, oh yeah.
That's
all
amazing.
Right, I'm doing it.
Thank
so
you so much.
I'm very excited to get my
Which
kit.
One did you get?
I got so many. I just was like, you know what? If I'm going to do it, let's just like,
get it.
Do
yeah,
it big.
Exactly.
I did the sleep and stress one. Something called heavy metals. Like I did ones that I'd never heard of.
She has some.
Yes. I want to tell you. I want to tell you about the little presents that I brought for you. So Sam, this one's for you, and I gave one to Anna as well. So
okay, it's a blue bag.
It is a blue bag.
And there's a T-shirt inside.
It's not my best wrapping. Yes.
I'm gonna open
cards,
the card. Quickly.
Oh my god!
I
didn't even
for
open
both
the
of
card.
You.
Shit. Oh, that's so
wait
lame.
A minute. You wrote like an essay. Are
no,
you kidding?
I, this listen, isn't just. I'm. There's.
This is. Are you kidding me? Do you want me to read this?
You can read it.
Can I read it on the air?
You can read it on the air. It's a little sentimental and squishy, but this is, you know, it's how
Sim,
I roll.
Sim, thank you so much for having me. I have been a fan and listener of Unqualified since the beginning. You and Anna have been the voices of reason, compassion, humor, truth that have guided me through my early 20s. Oh my God. It is such a privilege for me to get to be your guest. So here's a little thank you as a token of my gratitude. Love, Skylar Samuels. P.S. Congrats on welcoming your son, Evan. He is adorable. Oh my God, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And then this shirt, I'm gonna open this. Okay, here we
so
go.
So these shirts that I brought for you and Anna.
The Gifted, and this is your TV show.
Yes, so I'm on a show called The Gifted, and we're a big ensemble cast. So there's about 5 girls and 5 boys. Girls is one of me, but I do play triplets on this show. That's why
yep,
there's
there you are in the bottom
little
row.
Little Skylar's on the T-shirt. But The Gifted is an amazing show that I've had such a fun time working with. And, you know, it's all about like mutants and refugees. So we actually partnered with a nonprofit organization in Atlanta called the Global Village Project. And they're a school that provides free education and asylum for young female refugee students and their families who are transitioning to starting their life in the United States, and providing education to these girls so they can join regular public schools and sort of like, you know, more integrate.
Is the Global That's Village amazing. Project all over the United States, or is it based mostly?
The school is based in Decatur, Georgia. But I do believe that they have outreach elsewhere, and like they do a lot of work abroad, like helping, you know, they have a lot of their students come from the Middle East and North Africa, parts of, you know, like Eastern, like Russia, parts, you know, of that world. And so they do a lot of outreach as well. You know, people who are seeking resources or trying to figure out like, okay, we're trying to come to the States, we're not sure how to do it, or we're trying to ask for asylum, we're not sure how. You know, and it's really tough because a lot of these families come without a father figure. So it's mostly mothers bringing their children. But these are cultures where like women don't really ever get to sort of step up and have like major roles, like traveling with children or enrolling someone in school or having sort of like the more sort of patriarchal voice for their culture. So like the school helps sort of step up and help them make that transition. They're incredible. It's an incredible cause.
Do you know the website? Tyler, will you include the website on the episode description so people
Thank
can go
so
directly on?
Thank you so much. Yes. So we partnered with represent.com. So it's represent.com/thegifted.
Okay.
And it's our charity apparel. We've got hoodies, long sleeve shirts, these T-shirts, and 100% of the proceeds benefit the Global Village Project.
We'll include that link. So where all of our ads are in the episode description, just click on the link and you can get some merchandise.
I want to start like a theater program.
Oh my God, they would love you.
Okay, Skylar, so we've got a couple of fun, we do the ridiculous things here.
I love the ridiculous things.
Okay.
They're my favorite.
Okay, so as you know, you don't have to divulge relationship status, at least not here on the air, as Sim says.
I guess we are on the air, although there's not much to divulge. I'm not particularly shy. I'm a very single lady. I'm open to unqualified matchmaking if you're up for it, but I'm very much
love
just
that.
Fumbling oh my way God, through my
don't
20s.
Get me, can we hold like, on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Later.
I'm not kidding right now. Is there a way we can match you up on the show and do a bonus show where we match you with one of our listeners? We'll do like a dating game type situation. You can choose.
Why not?
Yeah, you don't have to marry the guy. All you need to do is go on a date. Maybe we and maybe, you know, Anna can join you on the date.
I honestly
I totally want to be on the date.
I would do it. I have a rule, which is that I don't really believe in these dating apps. At least like look, I'm 24, so there's a part of me that's like I'm such a hopeless romantic. So I'm like, I don't want like an algorithm like you know, altering like that
we'll
part of my life.
Algorithm.
But I am always totally open for people to set me up.
Yeah,
this,
no,
is like, this is a real life setup. That's
we
fair.
Are
absolutely.
We are qualified to set you up. I'll tell you that right now.
What do you
we
think
are.
About that title? Algorithm your ass. Unqualified will algorithm,
we'll
your,
algorithm
ass.
Your ass.
I love it. No, I would never use a dating app, but I would absolutely, you know, I've gotten set up by friends before, so why not Anna and Sim? Yeah, I would
we're
so open to it.
We're totally doing it.
It would be amazing. That would, I mean, yes.
I cannot wait.
Okay, Skyler.
But we're going to be very critical every
Don't
dude.
Give us a fake phone number at the end of this.
I won't. I promise. I promise.
Okay, so here's some deal breakers then.
Okay.
We'll start out with these things, and then we have a couple other ridiculous things because we do stupid shit. okay, so he donates sperm every month.
Ooh. I think it would depend.
Do you want me to give you some context?
Yeah, I need a little bit of context for that.
All right.
I need to know more about like the of his life circumstances in addition to the sperm giving.
Okay, so he's an artist. This is your second date, and he tells you that, you know, he's just sort of volunteers. It's not, I couldn't imagine. Maybe you would ask him if he donates sperm every month, but he probably just volunteers that information because that seems like an oddly specific question.
yeah, it's like after appetizers. Oh, yeah. You know, I grew up in the Valley. I love to donate sperm on the weekends. What do you like to do for fun? And it's like, that's normal second date material.
He's very attractive.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly how this second part gets threaded. Maybe you ask like, do you do it for money? But he tells you that it's not for money. It's because he's philanthropic.
I want to say that it shouldn't be a deal breaker if it's not for money. Because like, I guess if he said, you know, I really want to help people who, you know, who can't do that for themselves or to help people have a baby. But I feel like to say that it's like philanthropic, I mean, I'm not a dude, but
it
seems
very attractive.
Like, yeah, that's usually how they get you.
But here's the thing. He may pull that thread at some point, you know, like, you know, there's a high demand for, you know, full head of hair and...
I guess. Like, I don't know. I mean, if he's that into himself, if it's coming with that kind of ego, I think that's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. I think that's a good call, Skylar.
Yeah.
Because I was creating a total dick in my mind. But
yeah. So please, for the date you're setting me up on.
I know.
No sperm donors, please.
Okay, good. Sim, this is a question that's absurd. It just occurred to me. Do you ever feel like in the past that you had like, I wasted like millions and billions and billions of seed. Like,
it's interesting to think about because every time, you know,
he
someone,
has thought about it.
Every time you ejaculate, like, yes, you're always thinking about, you know, you can, you know, the amount of repopulation. I mean, it's just, it's a lot to think about. And I think about, you know, obviously with Evan just being born, he's the one that made it. He's a superstar that made it through.
I'm just thinking about all like the, you know, your incessant showering and being like your best friend.
You mean
I don't
like masturbating
want to,
in the shower.
I don't really want to think about it too much at all. At all. God, why did I go down this road? Fuck.
You're asking me if guys think about that kind of thing.
I guess so.
All the time.
I mean,
really?
That's sort of like a frightening thing, though.
Is that like
not a, anymore? Not anymore.
How egotistical?
Because you're thinking about how that ejaculates.
Yeah, listen, we like as a female, you know, there's like a thing that happens every month. There's an egg that's potentially wasted.
But you don't
or whatever.
Think about it in those terms.
No.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
No. No, you don't.
I think girls only think about it when they're like, whoa, I'm actually growing a human person. They're going to walk out of here in a couple months. I think that at that point, God damn, I am like a human easy bake oven. Like this is happening.
which, yeah, oh boy, that's a whole other subject. Oh gosh. Okay, so next guy, he grows medical marijuana in his guest bedroom.
Not a deal breaker. I like pot. I'm nothing against it.
What if it was like, what if you grew it in a different state where it wasn't legal?
I liked the guest bedroom. Oh, where it wasn't legal. Oh, that's it. Okay. All right. That's an interesting thread. I would say that because it is legal in some states now, I would be like, why do it?
Why are
where
you growing it,
is it
in Kansas?
Like then like, I would doubt his business skills.
I love Kansas.
Or his like his whoa, maybe, like
what
I
if
would
his
doubt
argument
his
is
judgment.
Like it's like the you know the soil in Kansas is like prime.
I would like I
the
would
agricultural
say bring some,
center of our country.
That's good business then, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
You want the highest quality.
See, yeah.
I would say like bring some soil samples back where it's legal, bro. Like, is it worth getting arrested to grow weed in Kansas?
I love a good road trip. He says,
I don't know. I might not marry the guy, but he sounds like he could be fun for a minute.
I think
he sounds
so too.
Like there's some sort of like,
and I like the idea
adventure
of the guest
in there.
Bedroom. At least he's not like, at least the guest bedroom isn't like occupied by, I don't know.
Well, I guess if he has a guest bedroom, he's not in a studio apartment. So he's doing something right. Maybe he's providing for himself enough to have a guest bedroom. Yeah. I guess.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay. On your first sleepover, you grab a blanket from his closet. A box falls and you find pregnant women porn DVDs.
That's a deal breaker, I think. Only because then I would be wondering if he's got like a fetish for pregnant people. In which case, I'm like sleeping in his bed and I'm like, does he want to try to get me pregnant? Because
no,
I don't want to get pregnant. Like, is that a fetish? Is that a thing?
No, he just has a lot of respect for single moms.
Oof, that's a new angle.
I did not expect you to go there.
I don't know. I think it would depend, like, how long I've known this person. Like, if there was, like, a funny reason, like, oh, like, my you know, my brother gave this to me, like, as a joke, or if that's, like,
would,
it's, like, his.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would a ton of porn turn you off? Porn DVDs.
Wait, first of all, who still has
a DVD player?
This is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Because porn, it's always a KG thing for women or for people. I don't know.
I think it would only really matter in like comparison to like how he was with me or like other women in real life. Because as I understand it, I've never pressed on about anybody's porn collection of the people I've dated. Though now I really, thinking back on it, probably should have inquired more about that. But I feel like if he's like present with me, like in that way, that I'm like, it's only because he knows how to like be in the moment and not like rely on it. Because I definitely know there are people who get like weirdly reliant and like can't do anything without their porn. And that would be a definite deal breaker.
But do you think, well, this is a question for Sim, speaking for all men.
That's what I do on this podcast.
Generalizing broad stroke statements about all men everywhere.
I mean, do you think that like, because you have like this beautiful, you know, Skylar here, whatever. Like, does a porn addiction reflect? Does it tap into like? Does it tap into something else that doesn't have to do with your attractiveness level towards your partner?
No. From first of all, I don't.
You're
I'm not
speaking
one,
for all men.
I'm speaking for all men. And most men I know.
All men everywhere.
How do you get porn in the shower, Sim?
Okay, here's the thing.
That's why you had that TV installed.
Oh my God, I don't even
waterproof
know.
iPhone case.
So, is your question if you're an avid porn user, does that would that affect?
Is it much more internal within oneself as opposed to your happiness level with your partner?
I don't think one has anything to do with the other. If you use porn in a healthy way, I think that there are many people that misuse porn. And then that affects their relationship where maybe the guy can't get it up unless something freaky happens.
Yeah,
so,
it's like, what's that movie that I always think of? The one that Joseph Gordon-Levitt did?
Oh, yeah, Don John.
Don John. Right. Where he like, it was like ruining his life because he was like, just couldn't, like he just became addicted. So I feel like that like extreme would be a deal breaker. So
most guys I know who are smart, educated men who are in families, they still masturbate to porn. I mean, they don't have collections anymore and everyone has a phone, so there's no need for a collection.
Right.
But if they do it on their private time, sometimes it's just used for a way of maintenance, a quick fantasy, but it shouldn't have any reflection on your relationship. Most of those relationships I'm talking about are healthy, but there are some that get incredibly unhealthy because of their addiction to porn. And that happens all the time. I remember Terry Crews talked about it on our show.
Right, right. Well, and if, and I imagine, you know, if you're in a relationship where your partner is you know, using porn to such a degree that you don't, you can't feel intimate anymore. I mean, that would
That would hurt my feelings. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That would.
So I think it's like moderation seems like the key in that with most things, I guess. But
blech,
I wouldn't want to be replaced with a stack of DVDs. That would be crazy.
So he's into pregnant women, I guess. Oh,
I mean, I love pregnant women, but like, I would be nervous if their guy was like fetishizing pregnant women.
Yeah.
Like at this moment in life, I'm not interested in being pregnant. That later, sure, but not now. So that might make me be like, is he like trying to make me pregnant? What's that? That would make me a little nervous.
Let's say that, you know, he tells you that, you know, his mom was a single mom and he has 14 siblings and he's the oldest. And I have such a fucking twisted.
This backstory is insane.
So not a deal breaker, right? That he just fantasizes about his mom being pregnant.
With his 13 other siblings. Yeah, I think that might be a deal breaker. I didn't think I was picky until we played this game. I was like, maybe I am a little pickier than I thought.
Easier. Well, this is not easier, actually. But like, let's say you're at a hotel together, and it's maybe you guys have been together for 6 months, and he uses the bathroom. We've done a version of this before, but I think it's interesting. He uses the bathroom, and because he tells you that he has to go number two, and. When you go into the bathroom, the soap is still wrapped up in paper.
Oh, we have done a version of this.
We have done this because I think it's a tricky one, right?
Oh, God. This is definitely probably more likely than the pregnant lady porn collection. Ooh,
that would be a deal breaker for you.
Oh, I don't. That's a tough moment. I don't know. I mean, I like to think of myself as a pretty clean person. Like, I love to wash my hands and I always have hand sanitizer with me, but do I give him the benefit of the doubt and think maybe he used the body wash or shampoo that's in the shower?
Listen, I'm forgiving on this in this world.
I
which probably says something disgusting about me, but if I like somebody,
The guy didn't care enough to wash his hands. I mean, here's the thing. Most men will clock that. And I would look at it as if I don't open, even if I didn't want to use soap, I would clock that as if I don't open.
You think so? You would do the fake. You would open the soap.
listen. You would have to.
Much more work.
Right, but I don't want anyone to think that I didn't wash my hands after I went number two. There's no way.
You're right, because that's what it taps into. It's like, would somebody think, do I care enough about this person's potential judgment of me?
Yes, first and foremost.
Or, which, you know, is an indication of love, but also, or is it the kind of like free-loving person who's like, I'm going to Burning Man and I don't give a fuck.
Can I throw a wrench into that?
Yeah.
What if it's, you know, one of those fancy French, you know, soaps that are wrapped beautifully with a flower on top that's adorned with bedazzles, and you know, sometimes they look like, it's like decorative soap that you're not supposed to open.
Oh, you know what? I did have something similar like this happen. Like, I remember,
our dishwasher's beeping.
Wait, your dishes are clean. They're ready. It's so exciting.
It beeps for an oddly long time.
It doesn't want you to forget about it. No, my grandmother is French. I have French grandparents, and she collects, like, really fancy, like, soaps and wrapped things. Everything is, like, wrapped and crazy. And my ex of, we were together for 3 years. And I remember while we were together, we went to visit my grandmother. And there was, like, all these things. Like, every time people come to the house, she is, like, brand new. Like, she's got, like, silk towels to use for your hands and these fancy soaps. And he was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to touch any of this. And I was like, you are. He was like, but it looks so fancy. Like, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I would actually think that most men are, like, intimidated.
Because
they're like, if it's fancy, they're like, is it for display? I don't know.
That's what I would think.
It looks too nice. Am I supposed to do that? You know what I mean? Because I feel like most men I've met own, like, one towel.
So we're going to do zip through these
couple of things, these stupid things. Oh my God, you're going to be so annoyed with me in a minute. Okay, would you date this profession? He's an exotic dancer.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
Wait, like exotic dancer in a Vegas male review club, or like someone that goes privately to homes where for bachelorette parties?
I guess I'm only super open-minded about this question because I'm a big fan of the what is it? The Magic Mike movies. And so I'm just convinced that, like, sure, Channing Tatum wanted to get out. He wanted to live a better life and do his thing. Like, I just assume that's the backstory of all male dancers. But if he's in like a troupe, like a Chippendales troupe, and he's just trying to like pay his bills and like get his life moving, sure. If he's making at home visits, then like, maybe he's not really a dancer. You know what I mean? What, like, I don't know if that's like a decoy at that point.
What if he's part of a troupe that makes home visits and they perform Annie, an all male version of Annie, naked?
Wait, that sounds really good.
Sounds awesome, doesn't it?
I would see it just for the pure curiosity.
This is our next business venture, Sim.
It's only at home.
I feel like the sun will come out tomorrow is like now never going to be the same to me, like with this image in my mind. Maybe he had a sense of humor about it.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
And then it's all like sexy and naked and weird. I don't know. I think the at-home visits. No, I guess I wouldn't. Well, I tried. I tried to be open-minded, but
I don't know, Skylar.
It's the naked Annie.
You might be missing out on
so many naked serenades.
What about a gynecologist?
Sure. You need to be a doctor. I want to give the benefit of the doubt that like if a guy wants to treat women.
You are open-minded. We totally have to set you up.
Please. I mean, honestly, I'm terrible at dating, so I need all the help I can get over here. But yeah, I would date a gynecologist.
You would?
Yeah. That wouldn't weird me out. I wouldn't assume he's in it because he just like loves to hang out by the vagina all day. Like, you know what I mean?
Why wouldn't you? That's where my mind goes to.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, which is okay.
Listen,
there's an argument
like,
to that.
I guess the college student in me who like is still paying off her like mountain and a half of student loans is like, you wouldn't pay that much money to go to undergrad and grad school to be a doctor just because you want to like look at vaginas all day. You know what I mean? It's like so much money and like work to become a gynecologist that I'm like, you'd have to be in it for like something other than like a free show.
You can't get any pleasure. If you're a doctor, you can't get any pleasure looking at vaginas and... Because there's usually something, usually if you go to the doctor, there's something wrong with the
yeah,
said
like
vagina,
it doesn't
right?
feel like the no. way you'd want to see one. And that fluorescent no. lighting, it's like not their best.
What?
It's not like it's...
Like, have you guys been reading the news like the last 3 years? It's all kinds of like gynecologists doing weird shit to... Listen, I'm not saying that this gentleman that we're describing for you is that fella. But I don't know. To me... I don't know.
You're going to say no to gynecologists.
Would I? No. Because it is. These are simple ideas for much larger questions. But
I think it would only be weird if, like, imagine you met one.
Like, if you came from a lineage of gynecologists, and it's like, oh, yeah, my dad was my grandfather, gave birth.
You need the family
delivered
tree.
Delivered Marie Antoinette or whatever.
That's the only way it's acceptable.
Well, it's like, okay, you went
from
to the family
great line of gynos.
Oh, man.
I guess it would only get a little bit weird at the point that, like, once, you know, you're intimate, and then he's like, oh, have you considered blah, blah, blah. Like, if he, like, you know, if you're, like, trying to have, like, intimate sexy time with your partner who is a gynecologist by day, I probably don't want him to be like gynecologist by night. That would be the only thing, like if he couldn't separate the two. Do you know what I mean? That
might get a little weird. Uncomfortable if he's looking at your vagina in a not in a non-sexual way. Like, would you feel that? I don't know. I just
like,
feel like if you're dating,
you may have an ingrown hair.
Yeah, like let's just say he's getting.
I mean, only
it's either
it
a wart or an ingrown hair.
But right. Exactly.
Not quite sure. Let's get you in.
I don't think he could like. I guess if I asked him, then I wouldn't mind. But I would hope he's not like. We should have a checkup. I'd be like, no. I know where to find you. I'll let you know if I have a question. Thanks, doc. No, that would be.
Wouldn't it be amazing though if he had like stirrups in his bedroom? Listen,
that would be a deal breaker.
I have a sick mind.
That's really weird.
That would be, if he had an at-home setup, that would be a deal breaker.
He loves his job so much that he brought it home to the bedroom.
That's weird. He sleeps on an exam table.
Oh yes. Okay. And this last one, John Mayer. I know, it's sort of putting you on the spot.
It's not really a profession, but...
Wait, it's not a profession, but this has great personal relevance in my life. So I don't actually know John Mayer, and I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but if he does, hey, John. So there's a funny thing that's happened, which is that I've got set up on like a couple of like blind dates, and for whatever reason, all foreign men, and they all always want to meet for drinks at the Chateau, which I would never voluntarily go to because... It just feels like a haunted house to me. Like it just, I always get a weird vibe. So I've gone there probably for like 3 or 4, you know, blind dates. And every time that I go, because I'm not a member or whatever, like fancy, you know, like thing you have to be to just walk in the place, you have to know someone who's there. And so you have to text the person who you know to like come out and get you. So every time that I have gone there for a date, I have physically walked into John Mayer in the stairwell because I'm texting the person that I'm, you know, there to meet to say like, hey, I'm walking to the bar, you know, I'll be right there. And it's dark and there's that little stairwell, like as you're coming up from the driveway before you get up to the bar. And like an asshole, I can't text and walk, obviously. So I'm like going up the stairs and I physically bumped into him so many times. And I was like, and so then it's become a running joke that everyone's like, when are you going to just like make the move? Like the next time you run into John Mayer. And I'm like, I don't know that John Mayer wants me to do that. But I physically like run into him like 4 times.
Plan. Would it freak you out if we told you that John Mayer is one of my closest friends? He found out that you were coming onto the podcast. And this whole thing, John, come on out.
Oh, John, get out here right now.
This would be like the most elaborate, like, Inception mindfuck setup of all time.
I
that would
so
be
wish
insane.
I was friends with John.
Oh my God, that would be insane. That is hilarious. I don't know.
So what if it's somebody that looks like John and tells you that your body is a wonderland?
I mean, I'm not against it. I have nothing against John Mayer or people who look like John Mayer.
What do you think a wonderland is?
Honestly, I think every time I hear that word, I think of the Michael Jackson like theme park. Is it Neverland?
I always think of a theme park as well. I mean, I guess wonderland.
But for whatever reason, I'm like, it gives me like it makes me shudder a little bit because I think it's because I think of Neverland, right? Isn't that the theme park that he had?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be against it. I'm not against people who like would be like, oh yeah, like your body's in Wonderland, like whatever. I'm like, okay.
No, but he doesn't say it like that.
That's weird if he says it like that.
He says it like this. What's up? You're smoking. Damn, your body's a Wonderland.
I mean, I'm so awkward. I'd probably be like, this is such a fucking dork. It's probably why I've never said anything to the real John Mayer when I've run into him literally 4 times. Like he must think that I'm just like the dumbest, most clueless woman who's like always texting and walking into him in the stairwell.
There's definitely people that I feel like I don't know in Hollywood, but sometimes I'll see. I feel like in my own awkwardness, like I blurt shit out that's usually just like
the nervous noises just overcome you.
Yes,
yeah, they escape my mouth before I can ask them not to
blab on about some something stupid and realize that they're not paying attention or looking at me as though I'm like, I don't know, an elephant with a unicorn horn on or something. Like it's just the that awkwardness of Hollywood sometimes. It's like, I know you, do we know each other? I don't know, how do we?
But doesn't that make for an easier entry point to talk to someone because you're both famous? Why not? I would think that all famous people, just because you're, by virtue of being famous, you can go up to them and say, hey, I'm famous, you're famous, we're part of this famous club, we can have a conversation, it's not awkward.
Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, and 4, Sim.
No, that stop put, it. That, you're,
No, I'm serious. I just feel like I don't believe, like,
yes, you do.
Maybe
stop.
If
okay, will you stop selling yourself
won
short?
An award other than my Stony.
Okay, it's not about awards.
It's
everyone
the best
knows
award
it's not
you
about
can
awards.
Win
okay,
don't sell yourself
actually,
short.
I really, you kind of, that was a humble brag. Dear listeners, I won a Stony once.
For a great reason.
But no, I think it's complicated. I think it's complicated.
Really?
It's
like I always assume all famous people just kind of get together in a room and hang out and they all know each other and they have a private club that they go to, like a special Soho house.
Well, it's also weird because I don't really like, I never know what to do. Like when you see people out and about, we're like, there's a lot of recognizable people and some are friends and some are just sort of milling around. You're like, I don't know. Like, do you even want to be like approached as like a human person, as a famous person, as anything? I don't know. Like I do get awkward about how to.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, I don't know.
It's always like, God, there's deodorant stains on my dress or like, I want to say hi to that person. Oh my God, there's that person. Oh, I can't even believe it. I can't ever go up to them. I'm just going to awkwardly, like, I don't know, adjust some things or whatever and fidget and fuss because I think that there is that thing where for me at least, like not belonging and what qualifies me to be. I mean, that's, I guess, why I started a podcast called Qualified. Just for, yeah. You know, it's just sort of a blanket term that I apply
but
to every
sense.
Aspect
it's
of
so
my
weird.
Life.
I think that every time, like, you know, I'm not against going to any of those, like, sort of like work events, you know, to the party or the thing with the red carpet or this and that, but I don't voluntarily elect to go to those because I always think like I'm down to go, but I couldn't go without a friend. Like I'm always terrified to go in alone, and I'm like, who has the fucking balls to just show up and be like, I'm here, woohoo, let's go? And I'm like, how do you do that? Like okay. I see people who do it, and I don't get it. Like
we're gonna do that next time. We're gonna be like
my
the fuck it twins, except one sister's quite a bit older than the other sister. We're going to be the fuck it twins. Here come the fuck it twins.
I think we're going to be a hit. I feel good about this.
I see a meme forming on the internet right now.
Fuck it twins.
We're here.
Fuck yeah. No, you've been waiting for us, bitches. Meryl, come on.
Meryl.
Get your fucking drink on. Bitch.
I love that we're drinking with Meryl Streep in this scenario. Oh, it's going to be great.
Okay, so now we have a thing.
It's an audition.
How do we...
Well, okay, yes. So should I set it up?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, yeah.
So
you... Here's your... Okay, yes.
So The Gifted, your hit show.
Yes.
For this one particular episode, you actually get to have approval over your guest star.
Okay.
So your guest star, you know, you've been going through auditions. Now someone is going to actually come in and read. I'm the casting director.
Wonderful.
And they're going to read with you for this scene. And this is Kayla. She came all the way from Vancouver.
Vancouver. Hey,
she's SAG eligible. Yeah. Taft Hartley. This is very exciting for you. So hopefully you get this role. You're going to be reading.
Yeah. Hey,
with
what's up? I'm
amazing
Kayla.
Skylar.
Thank you
I've been
for
a
coming.
Big fan of yours for a long time. You're so beautiful.
Oh,
and you're just cool. I just can feel it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You feel cool too.
Yeah. Cool.
So right. You're going to be reading the role of Sierra, right?
Yeah. Okay. So just so I'm clear.
Yes.
This has the potential of like...
becoming a series regular. Yes.
All right. Besties or anything. We're going to like, I don't know. That's what they told me. Anyway, my other audition.
Oh, that's great.
You're auditioning as well.
No, she's actually reading with you. She's on the show already.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is just so we can like get to know each other, you know, see if we have like a good vibe.
Do you know what's crazy? When I was in third grade, my teacher told me that I was gifted.
You feel gifted.
No. Me. Well, it was like, anyway, like whatever. But thank you. Thank you.
Do you want to start? Just try it once and see if Skylar has any notes. But you'll be reading with Skylar.
Okay, cool.
You are sad. There is darkness in you. You experienced a death when you were two.
Okay, can you see that I'm pondering?
Okay, you're not supposed to read that part. That's just a scene description.
Okay, but I just wanted to see if you guys clocked that. How did you know my brother died while holding me?
I feel you have a power as well.
I do. I mean, I always felt that.
You have a physical strength that no one knows of.
I don't know. I've always been good at soccer. I know I can run really fast.
You can. I see you have really strong calves.
I am really good at kicking. What should I do with this new power?
Come into my realm.
Gladly.
This is like, wow, Kayla,
what do you think? Do you have any notes? You wanted to read it again?
Well, I've really loved
that. I feel like I should be more aggressive.
I was going to say, I really feel like your confidence is coming through.
I think I should be more aggressive.
You want to try it one more time with
being more aggressive? I just think it's more interesting if I'm like angrier.
I think there's like a potential, like I think because I felt like a little aggression there, like maybe play it like, you know, like you're interested in Esme as your... As your
like, lover or what?
Yeah, like I don't know. Like you don't really know the vibe. Like, is she a love interest? Is she a murderer? Are we about to be best friends? Like maybe with more intrigue.
What okay. do you think?
Yeah.
Kayla, can you handle that?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it again.
Okay.
So angrier? Yeah. All right, cool.
You are sad. There is darkness in you. You experienced a death when you were two.
I'm pondering.
You're not supposed to read that part.
We can feel you pondering, Kayla. You can keep going.
How did you know? My brother died while holding me.
I feel you have a power as well.
How did he die, by the way?
Don't worry about that.
Okay. My brother died while holding me.
I feel you have a power as well.
I do. I mean, God, I always felt that.
You have a physical strength that no one knows of.
I don't know. I've always been good at soccer. I know I can run really fast.
I mean, you can. I can see you have really strong calves.
Yeah, I do. Because I'm really good at kicking. What should I do with this new power?
Come into my realm.
Gladly.
Wow. What do you think? I was very happy with that.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I think...
Do you think she gets a role?
Tell me right now, right here.
It's up to you,
Skylar. Right now in this moment.
She's going to be your co-star.
I'm angry.
Possibly.
I think you have a strong sense of self. So
she got the role?
Yeah, I think we have to rewrite, you know, your character's backstory a little bit to make her a little tougher. And I think we can make this work. I think we can make this work.
That's how gifted she is.
You don't have to talk anymore. You got the role. You should just leave now. You got the role.
I did.
Yeah. Don't ruin it for yourself.
Yeah.
You got it.
We love your enthusiasm,
fuck,
Kayla.
Yeah. Fuck.
Kayla,
yeah,
congratulations. Fuck, yeah. Okay. So we'll call
I'm
you
so
later.
Happy because I just signed my.
Oh, Kayla, you don't want to ruin it right now. You're fine. All right. So we're actually gonna get a call. Are you ready for this, Skylar?
Yes.
Are you excited about this?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So we're gonna call Sarah first. Let's dial Sarah up, and she is in Chicago. I had a nice conversation with her yesterday. And I think you guys are going to crush this advice. I really do. Hey, Sarah?
Hi.
Hi, it's Sim.
Hi, Sim. How are you?
Hi, Sarah. It's Anna. Hi, Sarah.
Okay, Skylar Samuels is here with us. She's on The Gifted. She's amazing.
Hi,
we love her.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, and Sarah, thank you so much for submitting a question so we can attempt to help you with something.
You know, it's amazing because... Sometimes we get so many emails, and then the ones that really stand out have really great subjects. The subject of her email to us was a movie title. It was Failure to Launch 2. Kathy Bates isn't in this one.
I love that, Sarah.
Sarah, tell us what's going on.
Amazing.
Sure. So the subject of my email is basically my living situation with my boyfriend. It's very complex, so there's a lot of layers here. About 2 years ago, I work as an IT consultant, and I was staffed on a new project out of town. So I came down to my client's site on a Monday, and I met this gorgeous man on a Tuesday. And 2 years later, we are still dating and going strong. About a year into our relationship, we talked about how much it sucks just to see each other Monday through Thursday on our client site and then having to fly home to separate states on the weekends. So it didn't really take a lot of convincing for me to agree to pack up my apartment and move to Chicago to be with him. And that's been wonderful. He's a great person. He's passionate about his job. He loves his family. He's close with his friends. He gets along really well with my family and friends. Everything's wonderful on that front. However, ever since I changed my address to Chicago, I've had to live in the same house with him and his mother. Now, I need to say right away, his mother is a wonderful woman. She's treated me like a daughter since the second I stepped over the threshold into her house. But there are a few things that are really irritating me with the current living situation. First of all, there's just no expectation of privacy. I don't know if it's just the culture growing up, but nobody knocks on doors. I lost count of the number of times they just barged into the bedroom when I'm changing or just trying to live my life. And the second thing is that his mom and her boyfriend both smoke in the house, which I find completely disgusting. And it just makes me so sad when I'm packing my bags on Sunday night, when I'm reaching into my clothing drawer and everything just smells like an ashtray. It's a hideous feeling, and I almost start crying every time it happens. So I recently talked to my boyfriend about our living situation because I feel like we're reaching the point where we're ready for that next step. And whether that's, you know, marriage right away, that's fine. That's really not what's on my mind right now. I just have to get the hell out of that house. And it has nothing to do with the people there. It's just the situation. I need my own space. I haven't had that for about a year now. And I'm really sick of living in a hazardous situation. So when I brought that up, it's been a contentious subject, and it's been the source of most of our fights over the last few months. He doesn't understand why I want to spend money either renting an apartment or putting down a large down payment on a house when we're really only at his mom's place 8 days out of the month because we travel so much for work. And we're really fortunate too, because we have the flexibility to travel other places on the weekends. So we can go back to my parents' place, or last year we followed the Cubs around the country when they were in the playoffs. And that's wonderful, but I still think it would be great to have a place to call our own. So my situation, I need help, and I would appreciate your neutral third party perspective. What should my next steps be?
Okay, I have a couple of questions. So did you say your boyfriend's mom also has a boyfriend?
She does, yes.
And what's your relationship with him like?
In his heart, he's a good person, but he's very old-fashioned. And to give you an example, I once yelled at him because he dropped the N-word casually at the dinner table.
Oh, boy. That's a tough
one. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about, so this barging in is very odd to me. I don't quite understand why anyone would necessarily do that in general.
I actually, weirdly, I can relate with you, Sarah. The first place I lived with my ex-boyfriend, the only place we could afford when we lived together was down the street from my mom, who, like, before we had even spent our first night in the apartment, was like, don't worry, I made myself a set of keys. Like, I'm just coming by to drop stuff off. And I was like, oh my God, this is the beginning of the end. And like, even though she didn't live in the house with us, like, she had made herself a set of keys. I'm like, I don't even know how she did that. But it was hard. Like, I think moms sort of don't even think about barging. Like, I think they just feel like it's part of like the maternal way of caring to just constantly check in on you and be in your space. Like, I don't know that it's malicious, but it's definitely annoying. I feel you.
And so Sarah, and what level of communication have you had with your boyfriend about sort of the things that bother you about this current situation? Like, have you said, and then I'm not necessarily encouraging this, I just wonder, have you said, you know, the smoking bothers me, your mom, like, not understanding boundaries. I just don't know where you guys are at with that conversation, or if you've had much of it.
Sure. Yeah, I try to bring things up as they happen. I'm a big believer in bad news doesn't get better with age. So we're very open about that stuff. I'll tell him it, and he's pretty good about talking to his mom right away. I don't know if she just doesn't want to hear it or doesn't really take what he's telling her to heart.
I'm under the assumption that they're really close, right? Your boyfriend and his mom.
Yes. It's been the two of them since he was five, and he's devoted to her. She recently, she's a lung cancer survivor, actually. So he was there through all of her chemo treatments, drove her back and forth from the hospital. They have a very close relationship, and it's a beautiful thing to see. But at the same time, their relationship doesn't belong in our romantic relationship.
Right. I that makes complete sense to me. Do you guys pay a rent of any kind? I mean,
I've tried to give her some money for rent, and she refuses to accept it.
Well, I was actually going to ask, because that's a very relevant question on it. Like, Sarah, I get that you guys, it sounds like you're really rarely sort of home, like you're always on the road for work together, but is it totally out of the question, even if you guys had like a
a small place of your own, even just like an apartment or a place to like keep your things that was just your spot? Or is like, is mom's house more of a financial motivator, or just because more like they're so close, he just likes being close to mom?
You know, that's a really good point. I didn't know. I really haven't considered that. But when I brought up just renting our own small place, he refuses to go down that road just because, you know, financially it doesn't make sense. Why would we do that? We might as well just pay for a storage locker at that point.
Oh. Can you, do you make more money than your boyfriend?
No, he makes significantly more money than me.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I really think you should have your own place.
Can you afford your own place right now? Does your boyfriend, you combine, could you have enough for a deposit for a couple of months' rent? And can you afford payments every single month and still be able to live your lives fine and save and go on your job?
Oh,
is that something that's possible? It is possible?
Yes, 100%.
Well, then I think, and it's the worst. I am terrible, terrible with any kind of confrontation or open communication. That's why I started this podcast, so I can tell other people what I'm really believing inside there, having the conversations that I, telling people to have the conversations that I should be having in my own life. But I think that you, I love it that you feel close with her. And I think whenever things are kind of mellow, like, you know, not around the holidays or whatever, but I think you need to tell her exactly what you told us. Like, maybe you don't have to bring up the barging or the smoking, but I think that you say, like, sort of, you know, I'm at this place in my life where I think I want my own space. And I love you, and I love it that you've accepted me like a daughter, and I love your son so much. And so, but I need to move into adulthood, because it's hard to argue with sort of that idea, that the idea of independence and being sort of frank and honest with her and very loving. I think that you should have that conversation, and Sim is grimacing.
I do think you're right, Anna. Like, I think that conversation should be had with Sarah, like with you and your boyfriend. But I think first you need to talk to your man.
That's what I was going to get at.
I think first and foremost, you got to talk to your man, because he sounds like a great guy.
I don't think the problem is her mom. I think the problem is her boyfriend.
Because I think it starts there. As he sounds like an incredible guy, and it sounds like you guys have a lot in common, and you have like a deep love of the human that he is, which is awesome. But I'm definitely a believer in my own life that, sort of like you said, you know, old news doesn't get better with age. But I also think that the longer stuff like this goes on, I think it's easy to start resenting people for things that you once liked in them. And
yeah,
I think, you know, if you feel serious about your relationship with this man and, you know, want to consider maybe marriage or a future together in any way, that I think there's like a positive way to be like, I want us to succeed and like give this relationship the strongest foundation possible, the best shot possible. But I don't think we can do that if we're starting our life together in that way with your mom. Not that you wouldn't still go and see her for dinner from time to time or talk to her or be involved. But I think, you know, I think there's a way to say it with love, but in supportively.
But Anna, I want to get back. But you think that it's talking to the mom is more important first?
No, I don't. No, okay. I don't. I just want to make sure that relationship isn't completely broken and that
she understands.
So maybe
at the same time. Maybe they understand what she means.
Well, not at the same time. But
okay, what I mean is like right afterwards.
Potentially. I just want to make sure that the relationship with the mom doesn't, because like Skylar was saying, like moms are tricky. And what I think would be best for you is to definitely get your own place. And I hope that your boyfriend understands and, you know, moves in with you or whatever. And the financial stuff aside, it sounds like maybe you guys can work that out, even if it is just a small place.
You're saying that she should get her own place without her boyfriend?
Well, if her boyfriend is completely resistant to this idea and like obstinate and it causes arguments, then that's a more significant problem.
Yeah,
in general.
I mean, I don't think you want to pose it where there's like an ultimatum where you're saying you have to pick me or your mom.
But it's right. heading towards that, isn't it? It's going to get to that point.
It could, but that's why I think Anna's right. You want to handle it delicately.
Sarah, do you want to marry your boyfriend? And do you get the feeling that he's resistant to long-term commitment like that? Because that's
definitely. He's my guy. We've talked about it. Like, I know it's coming. I just don't know when. Right. But I just don't understand why we can't get past this hurdle right now.
Right. Oh.
She's going to have to be more aggressive in the conversation with her boyfriend and say, look, I am not happy right now. I'm not happy with this.
And Sarah, you know, you can say like these, I know I've told you about the things that bother me, the things that are hard about this living circumstance. And I want you to know that I probably, just like all humans, will find, like, not find, I'm not phrasing this correctly, but like the things that are bothering you now will only increase, and you'll find other things, because that's just like whatever it is, wet towels on the floor or toothpaste uncapped or whatever the minutia that is, that's tough to live with other people, you know, that makes you crazy, will get under your skin more and break you guys apart. And I don't know if there's a delicate way to sort of phrase that to your boyfriend, but you called us, so you already, you are clearly fed up. But I hope that your boyfriend understands this.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Has your boyfriend given you a plan? Has he said, hey, look, I want to save money for the next 6 months, and then you and I are out. We're going to get our own place. Has he given you any indication or any type of or any hint of a plan at all?
No. And I've actually brought up the idea of, you know, what's your 5-year plan? Here's mine. And he said things like, I don't really have one of those. I have main goals and I keep walking toward them.
This is worse than, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Sarah, but this is worse than I originally thought. Because I feel like he's a stubborn guy and he's hard-headed and he's thinking finances first. He loves you, and there's no question about that. But he's not putting you first right now, because obviously he knows that you're unhappy. You've expressed it to him many times. And I think she needs to be more aggressive.
But to be fair, though, to play devil's advocate to that, because Sim, okay. I do think you're right. But Sarah, like you said it's been him and his mom since he was 5, right?
That's right.
Okay, so I think when there's that kind of dynamic, it's almost like if it's him and the mom, I bet he's sort of had to be like a parent role, a partner role, and while also a son. Like, I think in single parent households, it's sort of common that like the only child has to assume sort of like the natural balance of where maybe another parent might be. And so I think because of that, I mean, he probably doesn't know what his life is not entangled with his mom, because that's all he knows. You know, so I think it's a big change. Like, this is probably, I assume, 20, 30 years of him having to sort of like shift away and put someone else first. But I think there's a way to be delicate with it, because he and his mom are, you know, each other's worlds, but also he has to be able to make space for you in his world. And if he can't do that, then it's going to be hard for you to show him the same courtesy.
Does your boyfriend get along with your mom's boyfriend?
Yeah, they tease each other a lot, but he's often told me that his mom's boyfriend treats her well and he's the best guy that she's had in her life.
Okay, so that at least that's good, in the sense that an argument that your boyfriend could present to you is like, I'm protective of my mom.
And has he ever lived alone? Was there ever a period of life where he wasn't with his mom or at his mom's house?
I mean, there was college in the dorm, and every now and then, depending on the project that he staffed on, like, our company will give him a corporate apartment, but he'll usually share that with somebody else and still fly home on the weekends.
But more or less, it was like he was with mom, living with mom, went to college, and came basically out of college back to living with mom. More or
exactly.
less.
Exactly.
Oof.
Yep.
I did a movie called Mama's Boy once. Nope.
With John Heater.
Yeah. And it was about sort of, the mother-son attachment level. And I tried to infiltrate my character. Anyway, but
This isn't being fair to Sarah.
I know, Anna. This is irrelevant information. But
No. What I'm saying, this situation is not being, not your information.
No,
I'm talking about this,
right.
This whole situation is not being fair to her at all.
Yep.
And she's being really sweet about it.
You know, Sarah, we talk sometimes on the podcast about being selfish in love. And I think that this is an instance where you have to do that. I think you have to. I think that Sim and Skylar and I and you know our list. You're not in an uncommon place here at all, but I just could see it destroying your relationship if you don't. And it's really hard to go from living with someone to like taking a step backwards when you sort of have your own place but still see each other. And I have a feeling that your boyfriend will live with you, but I do think if you can afford it, I think it's really important for you to get, like, you know, even if it's just a small studio apartment, but a place that is your own, it will feel really good, I'm sure. You know, like,
maybe if she says that, by the way, maybe that'll be the impetus for him to say,
I have a friend that always says, if it costs you your peace of mind, it's too expensive. And it sounds like living where you are now is costing you your peace of mind. So with that, I think it's too expensive, like for your well-being to be
your boyfriend may bristle and get argumentative and threaten to whatever. If I don't know what kind of person he is, but
or he may say, okay, this is I'm not going to lose you over this, so I'm going to move in with you.
It's kind of a test for your boyfriend a bit, you know.
But I also think he might not get there right away, this is such a major relationship in his life that I would prepare yourself that there's a universe where he might need to like think about it or not know how to react right away, or maybe not understand that it might be hard for him to just make the leap and be like, you know what, you're right. Like, I need to commit myself to you. Bye, mom. It might be a little more slow,
right?
And languid.
You know, it may be. And you know, I think telling him in a sweet voice, saying like, honey, you know, I love you. I love this relationship. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm going to next week start looking for a place. I hope that, you know, we can live together, but just for my own growth and my own sort of peace of mind, I need to do this for myself. And I love you. And I hope, you know, I hope that you want to be with me as much as you can. But this is something that I just need to do for me.
Sarah, what are your thoughts on that?
I've actually been considering that. I'm hesitant to give him anything resembling an ultimatum, and I was afraid that path might resemble that. But hearing somebody else kind of say out loud what I've been thinking too makes me feel better about that course of action, I think.
Yeah, and I think what Anna just said was like really nice too, because like if you put it in your own voice, like it's not about like you can't get over yourself, you can't stop living with your mom. It's like when you make it about like, I got to do this for me. I love you. I hope you can accept this. But like when you make it more about yourself, I think it will minimize what he could be defensive about in response.
And if he leaps to a place where it's like, so you're breaking up with me, I think you can say like, no, I'm doing this because I love us. I love us. And I don't want us to break up.
Or get to the point of no return where we resent each other so much there's nothing left to salvage.
And like this is like
at that point, any smart man is going to have to, a light bulb needs to turn on. I mean, what you just said, if he doesn't get it at that point, then I feel
exactly. This is the test for the. This is what I'm saying. Like this is a test, Sarah, for your boyfriend. Not a test.
It's not a test.
But that it's.
It's honest communication is what it is.
Yeah, and if he goes to a place of anger and he's like, well, you know, we need time apart then, or, you know, I am thinking about our future. Or I think you stay calm and strong and say, you know, I love you so much. I hope you realize that I am doing this for us. And I love your mom. And I sort of like your mom's boyfriend.
I think you can leave him out of the equation.
but I need this. And I really hope you understand that. And I want you always a part of my life. I want to be with you all the time. God.
Sarah, are you okay with that advice?
I am. Yeah.
And Sarah, I do, you know, this, this, it, His reaction to you being assertive with this, with something that you believe in, which you need, will be kind of telling. So absorb it. Don't react emotionally, but absorb it. Think about it. Because if he is incredibly like receptive, like, oh my God, you know, I want to be with you. Or even like, I want to live with my mom, but I want to be with you whenever you're in town or however it is, just remember it. Because if it is an extreme reaction that makes you feel really bad, that's just something to think about. And I'm not saying it's like means like don't marry this guy or anything like that, but it is just something to think about because he has a lot of control in your relationship right now. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but you need, I just don't want you in like, you know, a year from now being in the same situation and feeling like your boyfriend's sort of calling all the shots for your life decisions. And, because at some point you may look back and not feel great about that, you know?
And I've made a lot of sacrifices for him over the last year. So hopefully hearing that, he'll be willing to.
Yeah, I think you've made the biggest sacrifice. The fact that you're still living there is,
absolutely. But I also think any real man that you're, or any true man who you are going to try to like weather the storm and like do life with should only respect and appreciate you being able to speak up for what you need and act on self-care and look out for yourself. Like, and if he doesn't see it that way, then that's like on a said, that's something that tells you what you need to know either way.
But and Skylar had a point too, like he's used to this pattern of being taken care of, you know, whether with sort of the, and he feels safe. So he may not react very well initially, and hopefully he'll come around because maybe he can sort of break the pattern that he's sort of developed in his life of having his, you know, laundry done or whatever. But
yeah, he might have to sit with it for a little while and break it down.
Yeah. But this is important for you. The reason why I asked about, I started off talking about you talking to his mom is because I do wonder if you are really tight with her, if you could say to her, this is what I need and I need your help. But I don't know if you have that kind of relationship with her because she could be either a unifying force or a dividing force for you guys.
You mean like go to the mom
potentially
to get her to sort of to get on board?
Like I need my own space. I love you guys.
I don't think your mom's going to be like that. That's my gut.
Sarah, it's worth sort of gauging. I mean, I don't know what
you could gauge it, but definitely talk to your boyfriend first. And I think like once you guys have had the conversation, there's probably then a natural opportunity for you to have a conversation with the mom. But I definitely think talking to the mom first, it might sort of make it feel like you're trying to turn the son and her against each other. That could get tricky.
But Sarah, here's what I would definitely advise when you have these conversations is do not bring up specifics because that will put people on the defensive. Make it about yourself, about how you need your own space because you're an adult. Don't have these conversations in a place of anger. If something has just happened that really pisses you off, that's not the time. And make sure everyone has a full stomach.
Should she write everything down so she knows what to say? You sometimes advocate that, right?
Well, yeah, I don't, because I think that...
No, not
because,
to, not to, just so she knows what to, well, I mean, not to read it to them.
I do that sometimes. Like, it helps me, even if in my phone I, like, jot it down, like, I feel like I've gotten the words clear once.
Right.
I'm a little less nervous when I go to say them in person. Like, they feel like they're a little more available.
I just don't know how a reasonable person can have much of a defense when somebody says I need my own place.
Absolutely.
I love you, but I need my own place and I hope that you come with me. I wouldn't, you know, as I am rambling on, I would resist the temptation to do that because I just don't know how you argue with that.
No, you can't.
Simplicity, right?
Absolutely. Sarah, what do you think?
I don't know, Sarah. I'm sorry.
No, I think that advice is totally reasonable, and I'll give it a shot. I mean, everything else I've tried at this point has either gone nowhere or I've just caused arguments with my boyfriend. So I think bringing in his mom might be the right move.
Well, yeah, and just make sure that, you know, that these conversations don't come from, yeah, like I said earlier, like a reactionary place, you know, of like something that just annoyed you. That's, you know, give it a second.
But we're rooting for you. And, yeah. And as much as you don't know how he's going to respond and however he might take it for better or for worse, like definitely don't feel insane for asking for this. This is a super normal, healthy, sane
thing. It's really healthy.
Thing.
Sarah,
so
yeah.
Don't let his response or mom's response make you second guess what you know you need.
Yeah.
You know what you need.
Sarah, thank you so much.
And I appreciate your time, everyone.
Hey, Sarah, also, you know, you are so not alone. I know we're going to get a lot of responses with people in the same situations. And
let us know what happens,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, please, please, please.
I will, definitely.
Your call helps a lot of people. So we really, really appreciate it. And I love you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Skylar, tell her that you love
thank
her.
You.
I love you, Sarah. We're here for you.
We all love you, Sarah.
Bye. Thank you. Please, bye. Please be in touch.
Bye.
Bye.
So we can wrap it up now.
Okay.
We can't get to the next goal. Let him know that.
All right. Hey, Skylar, thank you so much. Would you come back when you're in town?
Oh my God, can I? I've had the most fun.
When are you
going to
be in
today?
Town again?
I don't know. I do have a couple days off next week. It's sort of scattered, you know, last minute.
Well, we got to set you up, remember?
Well, I will definitely come
back.
We're
going to do a special episode where we set you up.
I can't
wait. Okay, you're going to meet a bunch of different bachelors.
Set
we'll have it all
Skylar
arranged.
Up.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't
dear listeners. Anybody in the Los Angeles area are willing to fly out to Los Angeles?
We don't need to know anything about you. Just come on over.
Even you, John. Maker.
Will you do long distance?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm not fazed by distance. Right. Our life is a little itinerant. I think it's normal. That doesn't scare me. Some of the deal breakers today scared me, but distance definitely doesn't.
I thought you had a very open mind.
I'm pretty open-minded, though I'm now curious to see who my unqualified matchmakers are going to bring forward.
I love you, Skylar. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, I love you, Anna and Sim. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much
for
everything.
This was the most fun.
The gift that you gave and the note
and
that you wrote.
And the gifted.
The gifted is, yeah, absolutely.
On FX.
Fox.
No one watches it on those channels anyway. They
no,
watch it
I
on.
Think
they watch
it on
all
it on
their.
Hulu. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So exactly. So it doesn't matter.
No, but thank you guys so much. This was so much fun.
Thanks, Skylar. All right, bye, dear listeners. We love you. I love you. I don't know if Sim does.
I love you too.
Okay, begrudgingly.
I love the listeners. I love listeners.
Good night. Goodbye. Good morning.